Let me say that again. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
I was thinking about the revival, and as you turn to Philippians chapter 4, revival here. I've never preached at our August revival here when I was here and as a young man, and a lot of young preachers, you're like, man, if I got behind that pulpit, everybody would get saved, you know? Everybody would get right. But coming down here this year, and my dad asked me to preach, I'm humbled by the fact that the men that stand behind this pulpit, at this meeting especially, are men that have been through a lot of sin, not raised in a Christian home, but they had to battle so much stuff after they got saved, and they're still faithful. Did you hear what I said? They had to battle the drugs, the alcohol, those things that many of us that got saved in a Christian home don't have to battle. And they're still faithful. And here I am raised in a good Christian home and never tasted beer, never had a cigarette, never had drugs. It is an honor for me to stand behind this pulpit. And they're my heroes. And they got singing that song, that first song that they got singing. And boy, you say, why do you shout? I shout because that wasn't my life. That wasn't my life. That first song was not my life, Brother Jesse. But it was my daddy's. And what God did for him, it passed down to another generation. And I could still sit shout on that song. Because I could still be living in a home with a daddy drunk and running the streets. But thank God, salvation showed up at the house and saved the Ryman family. Amen. And that's exciting. And boy, I'm telling you, some of y'all need to get a hold of that. Some of you second, third generation need to get a hold of that. That, hey, if it wasn't for God showing up somewhere in the line, amen. Boy, what a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing. What a blessing. I heard a preacher one time. He had went on visitation. And this preacher went on visitation to visit one of his members of his church. And when he went to go visit one of his members of his church, he was knocking, but he heard people moving around or somebody, excuse me, moving around in the house and noise. But he kept on knocking and waiting, and he kept on hearing some things, and it got quiet, and he stood there for a little while. So he decided he was going to leave a note, and he left a note there, and he was going to joke around with the members there. So he wrote Revelation 3:20, and it says this: behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, I will come unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. And he left that afternoon and went home, and Sunday had come around, and he had did his Sunday morning service, and he had come in his office, and there was a note from the member that he knocked on the door. And they left a verse, and this is what they said, Genesis 3:10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And yeah, I was, and I hid myself. Hallelujah. And I hid myself. Well, praise the Lord. We just went out last Saturday on visitation, hit 532 homes with the gospel. Our little church did, and we're so excited to see what God's going to do. Amen. And I thank God for a church that I was raised in and that learned how to go out and get souls. Amen? Amen. Get souls. Philippians 4, look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you'd help me. Lord, empty me of self, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And God, help me to say what you want me to say. God, help your word. And God, there's folks here That I believe at every meeting, like Paul had said, let the word of God flow freely and that we be established. God, I believe every meeting, every service, you can establish something in our lives. Oh God. And God, I beg you that you do it tonight and use Brother Glenn. God, put your hand upon him, Father, please. God, I want something. I need something. I already got my heart stirred from the singing and those boys getting up. And God singing their hearts out and singing for you. And then the other songs, God, and the congregational songs. And to see my son up here, Father, leading singing. And what a blessing. Amen. We can serve together. Amen. I love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you could, turn your Bibles. Hold your place at Philippians chapter 4. But turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts in mind." Now you know, if you've been in a Bible-believing church, that Paul is our apostle to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I thank God for the apostle Paul. And he's writing to the Philippians here, and he's telling them here, he said, listen, the peace of God. I've noticed around our Bible-believing churches that there's a lot of people that think they have the peace of God, but they don't have the peace of God. Yeah. Because they're searching somewhere else. They're not sold out for God like they used to be. Hey, listen, I preach at churches and youth meetings. I always ask the preacher this, where's your old godly folks?
Yeah, come on, brother.
He said, I don't have any. Yeah. They're very far and few between. Amen. You say, why? Because like Brother Soche had said, he gets sick and tired of those Christians, don't want to give all. They get so busy with something else. Hey, they've lost the peace of God.
Yeah.
They've lost the peace of God. But I want to show you something that might blow your mind. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 34. It says, this is Jesus talking. He says, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 12. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
If you're with me, say whoop, whoop. Amen. For the young people, there you go. I like doing that with the young people. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. You say, what do you mean? It's going to blow your mind. Most people, most average Christians thinks Jesus had come to bring peace on this earth. He didn't come to bring peace on this earth. Look at this. Look at Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 51. Suppose ye that I, this is Jesus talking again, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay. But rather division. You say, "Oh, Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth." What about Luke chapter 2? Well, everybody gets that wrong. Christmas time, they say peace on earth and goodwill towards men, but they miss out the beginning of that verse. That verse says to glorify God.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're not glorifying God.
Yeah.
And listen, there will never be any peace on this earth until everybody glorifies the Savior.
Amen.
Hey, listen, there will never be any peace. But Jesus said, I come and I brought a sword. And there it is. He said, you know what this sword does? It divides.
Yeah.
You know, the world don't like that. They don't like that. But it does divide. It tells you, hey, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you're not number one, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, he's number one. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's number one.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come to bring peace on this earth. But let me show you what he did come to bring peace to. Go to John chapter 13. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Appreciate God's word. John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Satan enters into Judas Iscariot. Satan enters into Judas Iscariot. And in chapter 14, and at the end of chapter 13, that's when Judas enters in. But in chapter 14, Jesus begins to prophesy about the Comforter. I want you to look at 14:25. Look what it says. These things have I spoken unto you. Being yet present with you, but the Comforter, you can say amen right there,
amen.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom my Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, I want you to catch this, he shall teach you all things, the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, listen, I don't care what the charismatics do, amen.
Yeah.
I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I believe he can teach us in all things.
Amen.
And the Bible says he'd come to teach us in all things. But check this out. Bringing all things unto your what?
Remembrance.
Remembrance. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to leave you, boys. Hey, disciples, I'm going to leave you, but let me tell you something. My Father, hallelujah, praise his holy name, is going to send you the Comforter. And when the Comforter comes, he's going to teach you in all things. And listen, he'll remind you of the words that I said. He'll remind you of the scriptures I said. Hey, listen, you say, oh, go to that church. They say, we want you to read your Bible. They want you to read your Bible. Yes, we want you to read your Bible. You say, why? So the Holy Ghost can remind you what the Savior said, hallelujah. Amen. Then he says in verse 27, peace I leave unto you, with you. My peace I give unto you. Even as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts, look what he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. He goes down there and he tells those disciples, I'm going to leave you. He said, but don't you be afraid. He said, my Father's going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to come. He's going to teach you all things. And he's going to bring back to remembrance the things that I said. He said, listen, don't you fret. Don't you be in trouble. In chapter 15, he begins to tell them, hey, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you abide in me, he said, I'll bear fruit on your branch, boy. I'll give you the fruit that you need. He said, you abide in me. I'm telling you, you get in my word. You get it down deep in your heart. He said, listen, I will grow fruit on you that you never thought you had. You never understand. And people say, where's that love come from? You say, it comes from the Father through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Ghost to remind me of his word. Hallelujah. Amen. And he begins to tell them about the vine and the branches. He also tells them there's a fruitful life of the believer. Did you hear me? Oh, there's a fruitful life of the believer. Yeah. Boy, I love my fruitful life in him. Yeah. Listen, it's not my fruit, it's his fruit that he bears through me. But boy, it's a wonderful thing. You said, Brother Samson, have you conquered them all? No, I haven't conquered them all. But boy, I'm still growing, hallelujah. Amen. He's still a trimming, and he's still a taking it, and all I got to do is abide in him. He said, why? Because I put the Holy Ghost down deep inside of you. He's going to bring back a remembrance of my word to comfort you. Don't you be afraid, little one. Don't you be afraid, boy. I'm with you. I might leave you, but I'm going to be with you, hallelujah. He said, I leave my word. What a blessing it is. But we see in chapter 15, go to chapter 16. He starts out in chapter 16. Verse 1, look what he says. These things have I spoken unto you. He said that a couple times already. That ye should not be what? Amen. Offended. Amen. We got so many people being offended. Yeah. They get offended. Listen, you watch news. Listen, you let this world and the movies and all this YouTube stuff, they'll teach you how to be offended. Because you've got to be politically correct. Yeah. Look what he says in verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember what I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. I want you to look at this. You with me? Say amen. Look at verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I told you the truth. It is expedient for me that I should go away. For if I go not, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he comes, hallelujah, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. Listen, I would wish the Lord Jesus Christ was here right now. But I'm so glad he gave a promise that I'm not just going to leave you helpless, hopeless. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to give you my word that you can go back on. And that thing would comfort you because, listen, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have problems. But I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. But he also said, I'm going to give you my peace. That Holy Spirit's going to teach you in all things. Look what it says in verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. The world shall rejoice. The world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He said, listen, you might be sorrowful for a little while, but just you remember, boys, I gave you the Holy Ghost and I gave you my word. And that sorrow, I'll turn it into joy. I'll turn it into joy. Look at this. Look what he says in verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be fulfilled. He said, you want your joy fulfilled? Come to me in prayer. You want your joy fulfilled? You got a problem? You got a sorrow? He said, why don't you come pray? Why don't you come tell me about it? Why don't you lay your burdens upon me? I'll help you if you come in my name. Yeah. If you come in the name of Jesus, he said, I'll help you. I want you to look at verse 31. And Jesus said, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? He tells the disciples, do you believe now? You got faith now? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You know what he's doing? He's showing them boys right there. He said, listen, you're going to be scattered. They're going to come get me. Yeah, they're going to crucify me, but they're going to be scattered, and I'm going to be alone, but I'm not alone. You know what he's showing them? Hey, I'm going to leave this earth, but you ain't going to be alone. He was giving them an example. He said, I'm going to be alone, but the Father's going to be with me. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to be with you. Look at verse 33. These things I spoken unto you. There it is again. That in me ye might have what?
Peace.
In the world ye shall have what? Tribulations. But be of good courage and cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
I want to say that again. He said, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
He was getting ready to go die, but he's already overcome the world, Jesse.
Yep.
Hey, listen, he already overcome the world before he died on the cross.
Yep.
He was encouraging his disciples. He said, hey, boys, he said, don't you worry. You're going to have tribulation. I didn't come to give peace to this earth, but I'm telling you, I came to give you peace that you can have joy and your joy can be fulfilled. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We get fulfilled. Our joy gets fulfilled because why? The Holy Ghost of God, when we got saved, come down inside of us. And boy, we'll go through a trial. We'll go through a trouble. We'll go through some problems. And I can't explain it. Just like you can't explain it. God, if you've been reading your Bible, begins to work in your mind down into your heart and begins to work on you and remind you of stuff as you're reading your Bible. And as you're in sorrow, all of a sudden joy begins to show up because the Holy Spirit of God, not Preacher Ryman, not Preacher McGahee, not your mama, not your daddy, but the Holy Ghost begins to speak to that heart that nobody else understands, nobody else knows. And God begins to move down. Hey, listen, your mama might not know your sorrow. Your daddy might not know your sorrow. People might not know your problems. I know everybody wants to get on the internet and blast all the problems. But listen, let me tell you something. When you're saved, born again Christian, the Holy Spirit of God knows your heart, knows your mind. He goes down into the depths of your body. He begins to search. He begins to look through there. And boy, you've been in church and here preaching, here and reading your Bible. The Holy Spirit of God begins to resurrect the Word of God. It becomes alive in you. And all of a sudden, there's joy in the midst of sorrow that you can't explain. You can't explain. It's amazing. Go to Philippians. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I'm sick and tired. Brother Soche said, Christians saying we're Bible believers, but boy, they're all down and out all the time. Listen, I know there's a time of sorrow. Faith Baptist, you've seen it. You've seen times of sorrow.
Amen.
We've been through sorrow together. Yeah. Oh, when Chelsea died, I'll never forget that. That Sunday morning, standing there in my Sunday school class, 40-something teenagers, I had not a word to say, but we sat there and wept. We wept. God
God, and Sunday morning preacher couldn't even preach. You know what we did? We sat there and wept. But I'll never forget, Brother Squeaky. Wednesday night, preacher was gone. God sent an old evangelist before he died, Brother Jim White. And he preached a message that Wednesday night that the Holy Spirit of God showed up. And we wept on this altar, and joy has filled our hearts. Whoa! There's nothing like it. You can search the internet and try to get all the joy you want. You can get all the drugs in you to try to search for all the joy you want, all that peace. You'll never find it. You'll never find it. Brother Mark talked about the cutters. I'm telling you, you know what's wrong with the color? The folks with the cutters, they think there's no hope. But let me tell you something, there's hope with the Lord. He knows what you're going through, and the Holy Spirit will deal with you and help you and get in that word of God and get under some preaching of God and dedicate yourselves. He says, hey, commit thy works and thy thoughts shall be established. Hallelujah. And God will start working in your life and grow you. And all of a sudden, in the midst of sorrow, when nobody else knows, all of a sudden you got a pep in your step and you begin to dance around like Brother Mark and his wife, saying, "What? Why are they dancing around? Because there's joy that brought that peace. Because of the fruit of the Spirit, you got to understand the love of God to get the joy of God to be able to get the peace of God. Look what it says here. Look what it says here in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. That word careful, it means full of care, anxiety, worry. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about with so many things. It means filled with care, exposing concern, anxiety, trouble, full of cares. Paul says, but I would have you without carefulness. Do you realize worry and anxiety? Everybody's starting to take anxiety pills. And if you're taking them here tonight, I'm not picking on you. But what I will say this is they're taking all these anxiety pills because they're trying to find peace. Some of you go to the movies and watch all the movies you can to try to find peace. Some of you here are still stuck on the bottle. Prescription pills and all these other things that had cumbered you about, that these cares of this life that you can't carry. There's no peace in your life. And he says, and Paul says, hey, I don't want you to worry. You shouldn't be worried about those things. Hey, listen, this care, do you realize in the last 30 years the increase of anxiety and worry is 1,200%? 85% of the things that you worry about never happen. Isn't that crazy? We worry about so many things and it never happens. Honey, I got to turn around. Well, we're 10 miles away from now. Yeah, but I think I unplugged some things. House is going to burn down. I mean, crazy stuff. Hey, listen, we're seeing more and more and more and more of this going over and over and over with anxiety and worry and, oh, what's going to happen? I had a guy, young guy, 30-something years old. First time I went to camp, he come running up to me, Pastor, we lost this boy. I said, okay, relax. We live in America. We ain't lost nobody yet. They know where you're at. I said, where'd you last time see him? I mean, I had to sit him down. It wasn't even his kid. Somebody told him, hey, we're looking for so-and-so. He had a panic attack. I'm talking about 30-something years old. We're seeing it more and more and more and more. You say, why? Because they have no peace. This statistic said this, 15%. Of people said that it nothing. 15% of the people said the stuff that they worried about. 15% of those people said it happened. 79% of them said this: it made them stronger and a better person. No. Now listen, that's a worldly thing.
But I look at Christians and we go through a trial or a trouble. We're out of church.
Yeah.
We're in something we shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
We've allowed sin to enter in. We're mad at the preacher. We're blaming everybody else. We're not coming to Sunday school. We're not doing those things. We said, I'm not going to read my Bible. We're mad at God. All kinds of stuff all the way till we take our lives.
Yeah.
You say, why? There's no peace. Because you're worried about things that are out of your control that only he can control.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Now, wait a minute. I don't believe any of those things are sin. Listen, I got care. I got children. I want them to have food. That's a care. I want to have a house for my wife. That's a care. Hey, listen, I enjoy playing basketball with my son. It's a pleasure for me to play with him, even though he can whoop me now. Hey, listen, I like sitting down and having a Coke. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a pleasure to me. That's not sin. Hey, listen, I don't mind when somebody hands me $1,000, hallelujah. And if you want, feel free, it's Samson David Ryman. You can write it out too, hallelujah. Listen, we don't mind if somebody gives us a check for money or we work for money, we got some riches or a nice car or nice house. Hey, it's not sin. But listen to me. Those things, if you get caught up in them, will choke you. And when you're choked, you have no air. So when you're choked, you have no Spirit of God. And you're not led by the Spirit of God. And you know what the verse says? Craziest thing. Your fruit, talking about the fruit, doesn't go to perfection. That thing hit me so hard thinking, wait a minute, we got people in church that think they're abiding in Christ. They don't understand the Holy Spirit of God that's inside of them. They're worried about everything else. And Jesus said, I'll remind you of my word. I'll comfort you. And we're not looking for the comfort from the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
We're looking for comfort for something else.
Yeah.
God says, hey, Paul says, hey, don't worry about those things, but come to me in prayer and go to the Lord in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. You know what we have in our churches? Half-ripe fruit.
Amen.
It's hard to find peace in church.
Yeah.
It's hard. Say, why? We ain't praying enough.
Right.
We ain't taking our petitions to the Lord. But get this. He says, in everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, what?
Rejoice.
When's the last time you got on your face and you just rejoiced to the Lord for the problem you just had?
Right.
When the Lord's broke you and you feel you're all alone and nobody knows, God begins to bring the verses back to you. As you're reading, he begins to speak to you. Or a message comes along and he touches you. Or a song comes along and looks and it touches you. And you begin to heal and begin to get the joy back. And you begin, the peace of God begins to come over you. And you think, man, there's something strange. All alone, nobody even knows.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got down and said, God, thank you for the divorce that I had because it brought me closer? Father, thank you, Lord, for this accident that crippled me. I got a man that visits my church. His last name's Richards, and he comes. He's in a wheelchair. At 13 years old, a car hit him on the back roads of a country town up there where we live, crippled him for life. I had him come up and sing, and one morning, God showed up. He got up, and he started weeping. He said, before I sing, he said, I want everybody to know that I'm so thankful for the car that hit me and the man that hit me that crippled me, because it brought me so close to God. It put me places that I got to win people to Christ. We started weeping as he got singing and shouting, and every once in a while he'll be joking around. I'll say, everybody stand. He'll go, I can't, preacher, but I will in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When is the last time you got down and you just worshiped God for the troubles you had? Do you understand? I thank God all the time for the fire that my family had. We lost everything. You said, why? Not because we got everything, but because of the souls that got saved through that. My grandfather and my mama's daddy and all that stuff that went on. You know, you say, what does it do? It puts me on my knees. It puts me close to the Savior.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, these verses that we preach and read become real to me now.
Yeah.
They become mine. They ain't somebody else's. They ain't daddy's no more. They're mine. Because they comfort my heart and they bring peace to my soul in the times of trouble. Oh, yeah, we thank him for, we thank him for all the things he's given us. Oh, that's easy. But when's the last time that you got down here and begin to thank God for the troubles? Or maybe somebody that's causing you trouble that's put you on your knees. Maybe your parents that are out of church. Maybe a loved one that say, I thought about these men. They prayed for a long time for their families to get saved. Do you realize what trouble? Oh, I hear guys say, I wish my family was saved like yours. And I wish that. But you guys got closer to God by praying to get your family saved. Do you realize how much a privilege it is when God lays a trouble or a trial on your life that you can get close to the Father?
Amen.
When you got cancer, you know what it did for the church, and your husband and you brought you closer to God.
Yeah.
Because we started pleading more, saying, yeah. God, and there was verses God gave you that we probably would never know, but he gave you peace. Brother John, I'll never forget you fell off that roof. Boy, we were praying. Men were coming up there. We didn't think you were going to make it. Miss Holly, I know it brought you closer to God. Boy, we can go around this room. I know a lot of y'all's stories, but there's trials and things that's happened in our lives. And listen, not only that it's brought you closer, but it's brought your preacher closer. It's brought this church closer to God. But I am scared for the next generation because they don't realize that it's not just getting up here and preaching and shouting. It's not just getting up here and singing and just letting everything go loose. Those sorrowful times when that word of God and that Holy Spirit that he promised he gave us begins to work in our heart when we're by ourselves and God begins to move in us and gives us things that nobody else could understand.
Amen.
And you know what he says? In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your, what is it? Hearts. And what else?
Minds.
You ain't going crazy. You ain't looking for the next hit. You ain't looking for the next cut. You ain't looking, listen, you ain't looking for the next pop song that comes out. You ain't looking for the next man or the next girl. You know what you're looking for? Holy Spirit, give me something today. Because, boy, that peace tasted good. That peace that you sent with the Holy Ghost that you said you're going to give us and remind us. Boy, I'll never forget. And I'm done. Hey, listen, I'll never forget as Brother Jesse comes to the piano. I'll never forget Brother Jesse getting up. It was on a youth rally on a Sunday morning. Brother Gibson, crazy Brother Gibson, got up and preached. He just lost his son, I think. And he was talking about his family out in the world. But he got preaching how it brought him closer to God. And I'll never forget Brother Jesse getting up there weeping. And we don't see Jesse cry much. We don't. He might whine, but we don't see him cry much. But Jesse was weeping. And man, it touched my heart. He said, I long for a wife and I long for children. But if God doesn't want me to have that and I go around this country and sing and preach and touch people's lives, he'll give me the grace. And you know what he's done? He's given the peace. Jesse, be honest with me. It's been hard when you're alone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brother Glenn, he come up to my place. I was so happy. First time he got to come up there because he's busy because with all the big dogs now, but I'm just teasing him. But he come up my place. It was perfect timing. He preached. My little daughter Grace got saved.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I was so happy it was for Jesse. Because my mind went back to that testimony, Brother Jesse. If I could do that, that's what God wants me to do, then that's what I'll do. Amen. Listen, we can pick each other apart, but we all have sorrows and troubles.
Yes.
And God is trying to bring us close together. And if brothers and sisters, we stop picking each other apart and go to prayer and give them supplication and say, Father, I know the Holy Ghost can give that brother something. I know the Holy Ghost can give us something. Would you help us?
Amen.
It will change your life. You say, why? It'll keep your hearts and minds.
Yeah.
You won't be thinking, he's preaching at me.
Yeah.
So-and-so did that because they don't like me. You stop thinking like that.
Yeah.
It'll change your life. Brother Jesse, go ahead. Start playing something. If you want to sing, why don't you stand? The altars are open. Why don't you come? God's touched your heart. Why don't you come? Maybe you need to get down here with your family and thank God for the troubles. Try.